With all of the pressure and even laws against single-use plastic bags, there's a steady rise in the frequency of people bringing usable bags, reusable bags, cloth and the like, to shop for groceries. One bag that has gotten very familiar in the Rogue Valley draws the eye a bit more than most. It is bright green. That is the symbol of the Neighborhood Food Project. It started with the Ashland Food Project, spread to other Rogue Valley cities, and is now in several states. And the Neighborhood Food Project is in the process of mounting a campaign to get bigger still. Let's find out what's up. Brad Galusha is the chair of the Ashland Food Project Steering Committee. Brad, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Courtney Williams is with the Neighborhood Food Project. She served as a board member in Ashland and is involved in media creation to help support the food project. Courtney, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning.
And we have with us on the phone from California, Phil Catalfo, who helped start a food project in Berkeley several years ago and can talk about what it's like to start them outside the Rogue Valley. Hi, Phil.
Hi there, Jeffrey. How are you?
Good. It's good to have you all here.
Thank you.
Brad, start us off a little bit about the history here and John Javna's original idea.
Well, the idea was to help to build community and gather food. 10 years ago, June, in fact, almost exactly 10 years ago, John and some friends went around and gathered food from neighbors and dropped them off at the food bank. That year, with I guess we had four pickups, we collected about 39,000 pounds of food, which was a real boost to the food bank at that time. Each year, the poundage grew, up to 112,000. In 2015, we jumped to 125,000 pounds. Last year, 2018, we collected 176,000 pounds.
And that's just Ashland or across?
Just Ashland.
Wow. That's a lot of food.
That is a lot of food.
So talk about the process then, if you would, Courtney. Walk people through, if they don't have a food project in their own town. I know these have gotten very common around the Rogue Valley, but if they don't have one in their own town, what goes on with the food project? It's a pretty simple process. Walk us through it.
Sure. It is very simple. People get a green bag, and then that's a food donor, gets a green bag, fills it with as much non-perishable food as they want, and then every 2 months, someone called a neighborhood coordinator, comes around and picks up all the green bags, and when they do that, they leave a new green bag for the next time, and then take all the bags of food to the local food bank.
So the idea is that you're supposed to take the light green bag shopping and perhaps fill it up as you go along?
That's what I do because I tend to do it at the end of the two-month period. The day's coming up. I bring my green bag and fill it up, buy the food. But what you can also do is keep the bag at home. Every time you go shopping, buy one extra item and then store it in your green bag at your house. So wherever it is, it's a symbol. Whether it's at your house, it reminds you of the food project and what you're doing, or you can bring it to the grocery with you. But it's a great thing to have around because when you're a food donor, you're doing that process just as the course of your own life when you go shopping, but you also know that there are hundreds and possibly even thousands of people in your community who are also doing it. So when you put your green bag out on that Saturday morning, you know everyone else is doing it as well. So it's a great feeling.
And it's the second Saturday of every even-numbered month?
Exactly.
Yeah, you can tell I'm well-trained after the years of the Talent Food Project. My wife's been a neighborhood coordinator herself, I should point out. Phil Catalfo, talk about the issues with trying to start the food project in a place outside the Rogue Valley, in a place where there's more people and more stuff going on.
Well, the project has been very well received here. Berkeley, was a famously progressive town and has a lot of efforts to address social problems, including food insecurity. And the way this has worked is that it's fit in very nicely to that because it's the brilliance of the Neighborhood Food Project model is that it makes it very easy to participate in addressing food insecurity. There's no need to feel like you're making a great sacrifice. Everyone enjoys being involved. You can bring kids to the grocery store and they can pick things out to put in the green bag. I know kids in my neighborhood who, get after their parents. Oh, do we have something to put out? Put in the green bag for Phil when he comes around. So it's a very positive, very pleasurable, very uplifting thing to do without any sense of guilt or obligation. And in fact, one of the interesting things I have found in the 7 years that we've been doing it here is that people, when they, you know, when they've been away or they just don't have as much as they normally do, they'll say, "Oh, Phil, I'm so bad. I don't have much for you. Or I don't have a bag this time." And I'll say, there's no bad. There's no guilt. There's nothing to feel bad about. You're doing a good thing just by being part of the project. And even if you only give a single can of beans, that's still a can of beans we didn't have before. So everything is a contribution. Everything is positive. It's a win-win for everybody.
How did you, I'm going to ask the same question of the folks in the Rogue Valley, but how did you decide which place would get the food collected by the food project?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking the others.
I'll ask them next.
Well, here, actually, John Javno, who's an old friend of mine who used to live here in Berkeley but moved up to Ashland many years ago, he actually came down and did some scouting, and he found the Berkeley Food Pantry, which this year is celebrating its 50th anniversary. It's a project of the local, the Berkeley Friends Church. They got it going back in the 60s and have kept it going. And he actually had made contact with them and identified them as a good project to be the beneficiary of our efforts here. So that was already in place by the time he recruited me to be the leader of the project here.
So, Phil Galusha, how is it decided, town by town, which place will be the recipient of what the food project brings in? Because you don't have your own pantries or food banks or anything like that.
It really varies. Every food project is absolutely unique in that, you know, it's dependent on the champion, whoever begins the project. You know, in Ashland, for instance, we had only one food bank, so there was only one option. That was easy. Medford, through access... And because it has several churches and food pantries of all different kinds, they just got together and said, okay, we have this abundance of food coming in, and, you know, we could try and proportion it per how many visitors each pantry gets, but to be fair and to do it easiest, and everything about the food project is easy, you know. They decided we'll bring in a bunch of food, we'll divide it evenly amongst the 10 or 11 distributors, basically, and everybody gets the same amount, so it doesn't matter your size. Like I say, you know, every community is different. Every community has a different number of food pantries or food banks, and they just figure it out.
We are talking about the Neighborhood Food Project, which, of course, started as the Ashland Food Project, and then there became Phoenix and Talent and Medford and Central Point and Jacksonville Food Projects, and I'm leaving out one community in Jackson County. It appears to be Eagle Point. So 7 out of the 10 cities in Jackson County take part in the food project. It is in 10 other states as well, and further expansion being considered. We'll get to that in just a moment, but we invite you to join the conversation on the exchange. If you're a food project member or participant, join us to tell your story, or if you have questions, ask those at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So I was just looking at your Kickstarter stuff yesterday, and I understand as of last night, that has been pushed down the road by a couple of months. Is that right, Brad?
That's correct. Regrettably, we didn't realize just how big a project it would be, frankly. And though we were enthusiastic, when I say we, I say the board of the Neighborhood Food Project, and eager to provide this program to as many communities in the country as possible. So we were eager and perhaps a little overeager. Once we got the Kickstarter campaign started, we realized that there was a lot of preparatory work that we hadn't quite completed. Like, we hadn't really sufficiently notified all the other food projects in the country. There are 41 of them, actually. And there were a lot of other things. Courtney, you?
Well, we've got a wonderful response locally. Really, people have really come out, and we raised a quarter of the money in the first week, which was fabulous. And a lot of local support has been really, really fantastic. And we just realized that we didn't allot enough time to bring the other food projects all around the country into it, because we could have that kind of response in 40 different communities. And the food project really belongs to everybody, and we want to make sure that the communities nationwide are also able to participate in this expansion as well. So we're just rebooting it for the fall. So we're really excited about that, and we'll work with the different communities over the summer to bring everyone in, so it'll be a nationwide splash in the fall, more than local here.
Step us back to the goal then. If you're already in 11 states, what more do you want to do? What additional can you do with the help of this crowdfunding campaign?
Well, it's such an easy and popular program. We feel like potentially hundreds of communities could benefit from them. And that's all we want to do. We just want to offer the program free of charge. It's all volunteer. There's no paid staff at all, to as many communities as possible. And in order to do that, in order to show how to do it, how easy it is, what's required, we need to create a library, if you will, of tutorials and pamphlets, and as well as a database that could accommodate hundreds or potentially thousands of food projects. It's just so simple and it works so well. It also has a benefit that often isn't considered, and that's the benefit of building your community, strengthening your community, meeting all your neighbors. I mean, I know neighbors that I've lived next door to for 20 years. I know them now only because of the food project. You know, we said hi, but now I step on their doorstep and pick up their green bag every 2 months. And that gives us a common experience and something to talk about.
Phil Catalfo, since you're in a bigger area where people tend to look down and not necessarily say hi when they pass each other on the sidewalk, is it the same there, though? Have you gotten to know neighbors better? Have people gotten to know the people around them better because of the food project in Berkeley?
Absolutely. I was just going to add to what Brad said, that I've lived on my block for 40 years this year. And I'm kind of, you know, my wife and I are kind of village elders, I like to say. And, you know, our kids grew up on this block. We've known families for several blocks around. But I got to meet people I didn't even know were in my neighborhood. And we've become very friendly. And we see each other with some frequency or exchange emails or phone calls. And now we're bound together in this wonderful project that gives us a new way of relating. And we, you know, we're working together toward a common aim and common good. And it's I've seen things like emergency preparedness meetings and block parties, happen in the neighborhood, which have been strengthened by the fact that we're tied together in this new way through this project.
Well, do you have numbers off the top of your head, Phil, on how many pounds of food you're bringing in? I was curious to know how a big city like Berkeley compared to, say, Ashland would be bringing in the pounds.
Yeah, our project is not as big as the one in Ashland. And when we are a much bigger town, I think we're probably, as a population, we're probably about three times the size of Ashland. But we're still kind of growing and finding our way. But we have been bringing in about 16,000 pounds of food every year to the pantry, which for that pantry, it's a sizable percentage of the food that they have to give away to their clientele. So they really have become kind of reliant on what we bring them, because, you know, for one thing, we can bring them things that are too expensive for them to buy with their budget, or that they would have to pay, more than normal for, in other words, the things that are not necessarily subsidized by the government. And we bring them kinds of things that aren't necessarily available to them elsewise. So it's become a really significant support to the Berkeley Food Pantry. And, you know, we still have plenty of headroom to grow. We've been doing it, growing very slowly, adding a couple of neighborhood coordinators a year and a few dozen more donors and stuff. But, at some point we'll get ourselves together to put a major push, maybe in the wake of the Kickstarter campaign when it happens later this year.
We're talking about the folks with the green bags at the Community Food Project, the Neighborhood Food Project. Phil Catalfo runs the Community Food Project in Berkeley. Courtney Williams is a board member at the Ashland Food Project and is a media maker for the Neighborhood Food Project. Tell me if you get confused here. And Brad Galusha is the chair of the Ashland Food Project Steering Committee. You can join us at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Steve in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Howdy. In Eugene, we have food for Lane County, who has an industrial kitchen almost, and there's a project called Meals on Wheels, where they will actually deliver one more meal a day to your house, or in my case, I live in a 12-story senior citizens HUD apartment complex, and we have a thing called Cafe 60, where you have your choice of one of two entrees, and they serve you a meal there. Has anything down south?
So you're talking about moving on from just the bags to actually prepared hot meals?
Senior citizens
is the primary question then here. Thanks for that, Steve.
Well, generally, I mean, you know, at the food bank, we supply the food bank. That's all we do, really. But the food bank serves, I mean, a large portion of their clientele are senior citizens on a limited income. You know, single mothers, single parents, people who just lost their job. It's a wide variety of people, but I would guess that the majority of the people who are served by the food bank are seniors.
And there are a lot of people who are working who go to the food bank as well. If a paycheck or assistance runs out before the end of the month, that last week of the month is often a busy time for the food bank. So, you know, it's lots of people working to make ends meet as well who go to food bank or food pantries.
We talked about how recognizable the system is for people who've used it. You got the green bags. It's the even-numbered month. It's the second Saturday. All that stuff is very uniform, it seems like, across all the neighborhood food projects. Has there been any desire or pressure through the years, though, to tinker with the formula a little bit? Like, well, that worked well. Maybe it can work this much better. Anything like that?
There have been other communities who have created their own style. There are some communities that have orange bags or that have different names or have tried doing every month instead of every other month, but we find that the every other month works the best. And so, people have done, you know, their own riff on it. I mean, one of the wonderful things about the Food Project is that even when people are sticking to the general format, each community really makes it their own. And since it's all volunteers, the fact that a community can have a sense of ownership and make it work for them and work with their local food pantries or their food banks, depending on what the situation is in their town, it really becomes a grassroots community-based organization. So they kind of own it themselves.
The idea is not to whip them from the founding site then, to say, hey, do it like this.
Exactly. And what we're doing with the expansion is we're creating a toolkit with the instructional videos and different pieces of media and tools that food projects can use that Brad was talking about, and then we'll offer the toolkit for free. So what we're not going to do, we're not going to be sort of a bureaucratic organization and sort of spreading out from the top. We're making it sort of more like an open source model so that people have the toolkit, they can use all these guidelines and all of the things that we've learned over 10 years. You know, at this point, we know what a food project needs at the 2-year point or at the 5-year point. You know, how do you get more neighborhood coordinators? We've got a great project that we pioneered in Medford called the Student Hunger Strike Force. And that the high school students are the people who go out and canvass door-to-door to get more food donors, for example. And that's been wonderfully successful. And the kids are amazing and so inspiring. They love it, and they do a great job. So part of our expansion is to have programs ready for food projects as they get further down the road, and they need to manage a larger organization.
Can I interject something?
Yeah, please.
I want to echo what Courtney said about the autonomy of the satellite projects. From the get-go, again, my main contact has been John Javna, and he said, you know, this is your project. You can do it however you want. These are our recommendations. These are the things that we have found work. But, you know, if you need to adapt that, go for it. Just, you know, so, for instance, the way I manage our neighborhood coordinators, I just try to work with them one-on-one. If they have a problem or a question, or they're going to be say when they are going to, you know, when I'm going to have one of our pickup days, I say, you know, what would work for you? If it works for you to do it next week or skip it this time, that's fine. It's all good. As long as everyone has a sense of ownership and participation and remains committed to what we're trying to do, we'll find a way.
Since it is volunteer-based, I mean, do you have some burnout people? It's like, okay, you know, I've been lifting a lot of heavy food bags now. I'm, you know, my muscles can't quite take it anymore. Do you go through some volunteers, particularly at the pickup level?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's one of our probably our most difficult challenge is recruiting and replacing neighborhood coordinators. In Ashland, we're really lucky. We have a really tight community. We have people who have been involved since day one. And it's easier for us, I think. But we do. We have people who say, you know, sometimes their health deteriorates and they can't do it any longer. Oftentimes, in fact, people will say, I can't carry the bags, but I'm happy to send the emails or make the phone calls, and we'll just send in a substitute driver for them. I mean, there's a lot of ways to accommodate, and there are, you know, donors, we lose as many as 300 donors every year. They move or they get burned out or they just, their situation has changed in some way. So that's one of our major pushes every year is to generate new donors to replace that 300 and grow some. So yeah, we have burnout. You know, even on the steering committee, I have probably 12 people and you know, they come and go. We have a great group that have been with us for quite a while, but
just a couple seconds. Does anybody get paid at the food project anywhere?
No.
No, not at all. Okay. And so, one again, when you're doing the expansion to offer the toolkit around the country, the Kickstarter is going to happen when now?
In the fall. We're not certain.
Okay. But it was up for a couple of days. It looked like
It'll always be up because it never goes down. So when if people do go to Kickstarter, they'll be able to see our website address there and get more information about it at neighborhoodfoodproject.com.
There you go, neighborhoodfoodproject.com. Couldn't have ended it better. Courtney Williams, thank you so much. Brad Galusha, good to have you. Phil Catalfo from Berkeley, thanks for visiting.
Thank you.